Good day, everyone. Welcome to the show for this, well, this month. Yeah, whatever, call it this month. I put out one, what? I think it was middle of February, something like that. This is now, I'm recording on the 1st of March, that kind of thing. Whatever. I'm trying to get back into this, the swing of things, of making it more frequent and on point, if you will, in terms of dates. This one here, it's going to be a shorter one. I don't have an awful lot to go off of, so I'm going to guesstimate, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour, something in that area. But at least I'm filling your ear holes with something, like, because I get so much enjoyment from all of you that produce stuff and basically enjoy my, or make my day enjoyable when I got nothing to listen to. Anyways, I'm going to start this off with a plug, and normally I charge an exorbitant fee for these plugs. Whenever people's PR representatives approach me and say, oh, I need a plug for so-and-so on the show and that kind of thing. I'm charging nothing for this one because, honestly, it's just so darn good and I get such enjoyment out of going. That is the Berry Game Exchange, which happens Sunday, April 7th, 2019. I highly encourage you to go. And I'm not even going to say encourage you to go if you're local to it. If you're a couple-hour drive, just friggin' go. It's such a grand time. I'm around, I think going in, I leave pretty early, around 90 minutes, maybe just over an hour and a half going in, and coming home, I'm closer to the 2 hour mark, depending on exactly how much traffic and mayhem might be going on the old 400 highway. But it's a great time. I thoroughly enjoy it. You can find some fantastic stuff. You know, you get the odd vendor where you know it's like, you know, oh man, you're really gouging, but there's a ton of great deals. I've gotten some really good finds, some unusual things that I haven't seen anywhere else, or albeit, you know what, things that I just would see online, like, well, I'm not buying that because I got to pay for shipping and all that other garbage. I'll see it there for like 10 bucks. I'm like, well, screw it, for 10 bucks, I'll grab it and put it on my shelf and get some enjoyment out of it. And when I'm done with it, then I'll flip it off the next time that I don't need it, sort of thing. But there's some really great stuff to find there. There's always some great people. Anyone that is local in the whole gaming community, whether they have a YouTube channel or not, there's a lot of familiar faces that you can run into. That's actually half of the reason why I go. It's a great show and all that. But I like to go and bump into all the people that I recognize and have regular chin wags and chats with. And like, hey, you know what? Shake their hand. Hey, how you doing? Haven't seen you since, you know, the fall, that kind of thing. That's literally half of the enjoyment for me, is just bumping into the familiar faces. And then, of course, there's the thrill of the hunt and the thrill of the deal. You know, okay, it's 15 bucks. You know, will you, you know, go down on it, do 10, that kind of thing. It's just a great, fantastic time. Hodge and his crew put on a really good show. It's going to be at the arena again, as far as I'm aware. You got to go. And yeah, by all means, like I said, if you got the free time, make your way up to Barry, hit this show. You won't be disappointed, that's for sure. If you go in there and walk out with absolutely nothing and not enjoying it, you didn't try. You literally did not try at all to have a good time. Now, having said that, whenever I actually do a plug for their podcast, I'm going to just charge them double the rate and sort of make up this whole free plug here. Anyways, let's get right on into the topics that I have typed out on my phone for this episode. All right, YouTube is killing comments. Well, that's a bit of an overstatement. They're sort of, call it trying, not even transitional period, basically just picked out a couple of handful of channels that are obviously larger ones. And one of them, I don't understand why, because there's nothing controversial at all on his channel. I actually quite enjoy him. That's how I know about this. Chad Tronic. I'll actually put a link to his channel in the podcast description. He does a lot of crazy, zany, weird commercials, the toys and that kind of thing. just an all-round fun person to watch, and insane amount of exaggerated energy. But that's kind of like the character that he plays, but it's quite enjoyable. Anyways, he was apparently disabled comments through the latest quote-unquote YouTube drama. I'm not even call this one drama. This one's, it's kind of hard to say what you can do about this. I know they're trying to figure out what they can do, but Chytronic's channel losing comments makes no sense because he had nothing remotely close to what they're trying to police. But anyways, he's lost comments for an undetermined period of time. Like I said, this is sort of a trial period, I guess, between him and a handful of others. I don't watch the others that were listed, just him. But I guess there's been a controversy of, I hate saying the word, let's say child predators, marking videos in the comments with a timestamp. And I guess this is somehow marked as well. Between the timestamp, it's also marked with CP. And I'm sure you could figure out what I'm alluding to from that. And it's not actual CP that you're looking at. It could be something as innocent as a child doing gymnastics. And there's a specific pose that you can freeze frame on. And these unbelievably sick individuals somehow turn this into an image of joy from themselves. I'm really trying to keep this as polite as possible. But at the same time, this topic causes me great rage, and I think it's fair for me to say that. And I'm sure a lot of other people would think the same, to be like, you know what, I don't wish to inflict harm on a lot of people, but any of these individuals that are proven guilty, that have, you know, these images stored on whatever digital devices that they have and shared around, if they were to be curb stomped, you would probably turn your back to it, because it is such a disgusting thing for them to be using children in a predatory manner. But anyways, that's why they're apparently trying to disable comments. And, well, like I said, not trying to disable, just on specific channels, whether it's ones that feature children on, you know, a higher platform basis, like fairly big subscriber base, that kind of thing. But then there's other ones that don't make sense. Like I said, Chytronic, he doesn't feature children or anything, but somehow he was handpicked for this. Yeah, and then there's other ones that were completely eliminated, like just completely the channel killed. And I don't play Pokemon Go. I've never have. As soon as I found out that I had to actually leave the door to play it, I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm good. I get enough exercise and I'm on my feet all day. But I guess there's an experience point system called CP in that game. Like I said, I could be mistaken, but this is what I understand. So there could be titles like how to raise CP on whatever specific Pokemon in Pokemon Go. And I guess that was flagged by YouTube thinking that this was specific channels pointing out child predatory thumbnails or recommendations, that kind of thing. So yeah, those channels got killed too, which had obviously nothing to do with it at all. One of them, I believe, was like either a million subscribers or pretty close to that, and I guess he's fighting to get that reinstated. Hopefully he does, because obviously he has zero intentions of what they aren't specifically accusing him of, but the algorithm is accusing him of. But yeah, it's a scary thing where something as innocent as Pokemon Go videos can years later be flagged for something completely unrelated, and you can lose your channel. Some of these people are actually living off of this income, which I believe this specific individual was. So that's a shame. You know, like your life can literally be turned around, and what do you put on a resume after that if you can't get your channel back? Like, my work experience for the past 5 years was a YouTube channel. I don't know how that would technically be of interest to most any employers out there, but yeah, it's a landscape of what you can expect, and it's really hard to say whether this is a viable job for the next 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or everything goes down the hole tomorrow. That's like, don't get me wrong, if I could do, like, it's easy to say, oh man, I'd love to do that for my job. I get up, I do a video, a couple hours of editing, and I just rake in this money. it's a small, very small handful of individuals that have turned that into a lucrative success. There's a lot of people that are living off of the wage, but I wouldn't consider them making an exorbitant amount of money. But they're comfortable. But that could all be taken away, like, in the snap of a finger for something as unrelated as, like I said, the CP. I'm not using the term because I'm not because it's disgusting. But yeah, that's sort of one of the landscapes of where YouTube is headed. And you really got to be careful of what you put yourself in there. Your channel tags, any of that. You got to be really specific and as family friendly as possible. And it's almost seeming like even that is not saving some of these people. I'm going to move this on into a little bit of a PSA for lengthy games, streaming, and sessions. With this one here, I hear quite a bit on and off, you know, people that have these, let's call it insane addiction to gaming for, you know what, call it like hours on end or days on end in some cases. And people can like literally die from just sitting and doing it for, you know, 20 plus hours, 30 plus hours, couple of days. They do that for, you know, weeks at a time, and then, you know, it could be something like I've heard blood clots and, you know, heart failure because they're just sitting there drinking and eating nothing but garbage and not taking care of themselves health wise and not getting sleep. It's definitely something that I would be concerned about, and I've actually pointed this out a number of times in the past, and it's something that I like to try and touch base on once every 6 to 12 months, that kind of thing, because I do the odd bit of streaming, not as much as I'd like to, but I've done it, especially the marathons. I did one, this was the past fall. It was scheduled for 8 hours. I think I squeezed out a ninth and a bit. I can tell you, I was feeling pretty exhausted by the time that 8th hour hit, and somehow I was like, oh, okay, screw it, I'm already live, I've got nothing else going on, I'll squeeze out another hour, and then I close it off for bed. But I could feel the exhaustion after 8 hours. And when I actually go and I don't want to say I help Troy with his 25-hour stream, because he does it all. I'm literally a participant to just sort of keep the flow going and help keep him awake, if anything. But I'm not a part of the stream in terms of setting it up or running it or anything like that. But when I get there, the first thing that I ask him every time, and I think I've joined him, three times in a row? Like something like that. I think it's three in a row. But every time I show up, I ask him, are you feeling good? Do you need a break? Any of that kind of stuff. And it's out of pure respect, because I normally try and show up for the late night shift for him, because that's when he has, in theory, no one else there to keep him awake. But he's already been going for, at that point, call it 15 plus hours at that time. Somewhere in that area. And, you know, I thoroughly mean it. If I ever do show up in the future and I ask him, are you feeling good? Do you need a rest? If he ever says, you know what, I need to go and lie down for 2, 3, 4 hours, whatever, and then come back down, I'm perfectly fine with that. I could run it by myself for the couple of hours that he needs a break or whatever, get some shut-eye. Because it's, you know, he's doing a charity marathon. It's a stream, but at the same time, you gotta watch out for your own health, though. And I know he will never take me up on the offer, but I will still ask him every time that I attend if he needs a break and he needs to have a bit of a nap or something in between, because I would much rather know that I'm letting someone do that than push themselves past the limit than what they might think that they should be doing. But yeah, keep it in mind, anything that you're doing with long-time play sessions, whether it's by yourself, just for your own enjoyment, you're doing it for a marathon stream, just, you know, the off-the-cuff Twitch stream, if you're just, you know, oh, I got a new game, and it's one of my favorites from the series, and I'm going to do 8 or 10 hours of this because I took the day off work. Just keep that in mind. Worst case, if you need to, put a pause. You can leave the stream going. Put it on pause. Just tell people I'll be back in 15, 20 minutes. Make sure you get yourself a proper meal, you know, proper washroom break, that kind of thing. Refresh yourself, throw some water on your face, and then go back at it for another couple of hours after that. Because by at the end of the day, you really do need to take care of yourself. And as much as it's commendable, whether, you know, for the charity for sure, or just for yourself, if it's something that you love to do, by all means do it, but do it in moderation and make sure that you're doing it for the good of your health. And, well, not doing it for the good of your health, but make sure you keep your health as a priority and not let that slip onto the back burner just to sit there and burn another 4 hours on a live stream. Alrighty, this one here is going to be a rant just out of pure privilege because I can. I freaking hate self-checkouts with a passion. As a lot of people have pointed out before, it takes jobs away from people that could be checking out your groceries and stuff for you. It's a pain in the butt for the people that want or are actually forced to use it. I use the word forced, not want, because in a lot of cases, you're forced to use it. There could be a giant line somewhere else, or in my case, the Walmart down the street. They pretty much eliminated the conveyor belt checkouts. It used to be, up until Christmas, quite a few. I want to say roughly 20. And then they had the express checkout, which was a handful of little podiums. They weren't self-checkouts. They're still manned or womaned, you know, because both can check out stuff at these stations. And but it'd be like a little cube spot where they could scan things and put them in bags. But that was like the express. But there was like 7 or 8 of them in that little corralled area. And then it was like pretty much overnight. I remember going there for something New Year's Eve morning, something like that, and nothing had changed. And then the next week that I went in there for whatever, all of that was just torn out. It was gone, like what seemed like overnight. Like I said, it was a week's period of time since I had visited, but it felt like it was overnight. It was all gone. It's basically 90% all self-checkout, and then there's like, I think 4 to maybe 6 with the conveyor belt system, like actual real checkouts. And those ones there are generally not open, because you'd say, well, why don't you just use one of those? Well, we go early in the morning for the most part for groceries, and those ones just don't even seem to have a person at them now. They're just, they exist, I guess, for maybe middle of the day, the afternoon, but there's no one actually running them when we go. So you're forced to use these self-checkouts. And it's like we are doing the job that the store has always done for us for no compensation. I don't see any of my grocery prices going down, with the exception of, you know, regular sales, but that doesn't count. And there's no like reward system for it. If you're going to make us do this, especially what Walmart is generally forcing down our throats, especially at my location, there should be like a coffee card puncher thing. You cashed out, there'd have to be a way around it for them to make it, you know, not rob them. Like, let's say, you know, oh, you're buying 3 items, then you should get no credit for that, because it takes you like 2 minutes to do it. But if you're getting like, you know, $50 or more worth, which is generally a grocery cart, easy, multiple items, and you're sitting there weighing your own things and punching in the PLU codes and scanning your own items and bagging your own items, and then all the hiccups that happen, oh, you know, place the item in the bag. Oh, you didn't place that item in the bag. You got to take that back out. Put that back in the bag because the weigh system didn't catch it properly. And then if you touch something and like you haven't even meant to, like you can just lean over the counter to try and grab something or the cart, but your jacket touches a part of the scanner thing and then it locks it up and please wait for attendant. And it's just a pain in the butt. And I know this is truly a first world problem. Truly it is. But it's something that I never had to deal with up until now. Like, I mean, there's been self-checkouts over the past, call it, 5 years, I think they started becoming really prevalent. But I still generally never use them, because the people that run those, the actual cash-outs, some of them are wizards. Like, I mean, some of them are dumb as stumps. But for the most part, I'd say my experience is pretty enjoyable. You know, toss my stuff out of the cart onto the belt, and like I say, the man or the woman manning the station, some of them are just freaking beautiful at the craft. Like, a lot of people might sit there and dump on them, oh, you're just a freaking cash out person, you know, what skill does that take? There's a lot of memory. Like, some of these people that I've had, and I'd say regulars at past grocery stores that we've done when we lived at our other place that was roughly 20 minutes away where we are now, so we don't shop there anymore, because obviously it's it's out of the way. There's no point unless we're visiting our parents out that way and hitting the way back home. But some of them were absolutely wonderful at this. Not even looking up codes for things. Like, you could throw 20 different items in just the regular little vegetable-style bags and just boom, 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 bam. Boom, 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 bam. Typing in the codes. Bam, bam, scan, wait, scan. They would have you pushed out of there no time flat. Whereas with me trying to do it myself at these self-checkout stations. Like I said, there's the inconvenience of it locking up for whatever stupid reason, or items that have two barcodes on it, because, you know, it could be, say, a six-pack of bottles of pop or whatever. Well, each of those have their own SKU code. And then the bundling that holds it together, that has its own SKU code. Well, if you scan one and not the other, it locks up the machine. You got to wait for a person to come out. Reset the box, because you can't even just cancel it and just scan it yourself again because it hit the wrong code. That's not an option. You have to wait for an attendant to do it for you. So you're sitting there waiting, and if there's a ton of other people, then you're sitting there waiting in between the other 10 or 20 stations that are going on. So, and they got one attendant floating around these multiple stations, so they're running around like a chicken with its head cut off. They're going nuts trying to even, you know, stay on top of what station needs what. And for the most part, 99% of the time, it's just to cancel it out, just to let the person continue scanning their stuff. And like I said, if they're gonna force this down our throats, it'd be nice to have some sort of reward system. You're buying $50 or more in product, then there should be like a little scan card or something that you could scan in on an account. And okay, every 10th time that you check out more than $50 worth of stuff, then you get like $5 off your bill or something. Make some sort of a friggin' reward system for jamming this down our throats. And that would actually make people maybe want to use them, because I can tell you right now, there's a lot of people that I've talked to that all think it's a terrible experience. They would much rather talk to someone and hand over the cash, or, you know, do the debit card and right with a human being, because that's just the way it's always been. And it's unfortunate. Technology obviously changes things, and this is one of the ones where I am very resistant in accepting it. Like I said, there's the whole job aspect of, you know, giving people something to do and employment, and just in general, it's like the same as the whole bill system now. Oh, we're gonna charge you to send you a bill in the mail now, because we can give it to you for free through email. Like, well, how the hell does that make sense? It makes sense for you, but it doesn't make sense for me if I want a physical copy like I've always had. Before the internet was as prevalent as it was, when it was, let's call it a niche, because let's be honest, for a decent period of time, internet was a niche. Not everybody had it. And the ones that did have it, it was considered very much a luxury, not so much now. Now it's just everyone has it. But I remember the 90s, it was definitely a luxury. And the mid-2000s, it was definitely still considered a luxury, especially getting, you know, major decent broadband. That was a luxury. Oh my God. Not that AOL garbage that I had when I was growing up, though, you know, with the modem and I'm trying to mimic a modem, and I've gone way off topic now. But anyways, they charge you for a freaking bill to show up in your mail now, and it's garbage. And I've even fought that with them before. I'm like, well, you guys were always giving it to me for no cost before, and now you want to charge me an extra buck for it. I know darn well it doesn't charge you that much to send it out, because they get one of those prepaid postage deals through the post office, where they could just multiple stamp on, you know, X number envelopes, or they're pre-marked envelopes that just go in the mail. They're not paying a buck an envelope that goes out. If they are, I'd be very surprised. But I'm fairly certain that they're buying a bulk license, if you will, to just send these out for a heavily discounted rate, because they do so much through the postal system. But it's the way technology has sort of, it gives us, but it taketh away. And it's, I hope to not see much of a transitional period, at least in my lifetime, of people getting their jobs replaced on large scale. Because as time goes on, more and more things that were hand done are going to be replaced. And like I said, I hope to not see that happen too quickly in my lifetime. because it'd be a sad society if people are struggling and fighting to get employment that otherwise should have been able to, you know, 10, 15 years ago easily. All right, I'm going to move this on into my first foray into the CC feedback. And I'm going to imagine most of you listening to this are already affiliated or partner with the Cartridge Club. If for some reason you are not, you found me through the iTunes, or I'm on Android now, thanks to Mrs. Q-Dog, because without her bugging me, that would not have happened. In Podomatic, whatever form you found me, if you're not already affiliated with the Cartridge Club. Anyways, it's a organization of individuals that just share a passion for gaming and geek-related culture. I will put a actual link to the homepage for the site, and you can find yourself a delightful amount of content creators that provide podcasts such as myself, obviously on a much better scale and more production quality to it. Videos, blogs and write-ups on different things, you know, sort of like reviews and that kind of thing. It's all there. But anyways, for myself, there's a new, well, I shouldn't call it new, but new-ish feature that they're offering, which is the CC feedback. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. And this was from my previous month's podcast episode. Well, I call it previous month, it was 2 weeks ago, whatever I posted it. But it's going to be interesting, because as of this recording, that submission has not closed yet. And that submission will close after I put this out. I'm actually going to specifically wait until that closes, or at least hopefully knowing it's supposed to close Friday night tonight. So I'm going to try and put this up either late night Friday or the first thing Saturday, so that no one can alter the results or change their view set, because I want pure, honest feedback on this one. But at the same time, it's a little scary. You know, I've put stuff out online, you know, videos and that kind of stuff in the past, and you can get some very nice comments. You can obviously get the, let's call them the buttholes to make this family friendly. But honestly, I don't care about strangers' criticisms, because I can roll that stuff off my back. No problem. I don't care. If I've upset you with whatever mundane thing that I might have discussed or made a video on or had an opinion on and you don't like it, I'm sorry, but screw you, I don't care. But the people that are going to be providing the feedback on this are what I truly consider friends. And it's going to be interesting to see what friends have to say, because I consider their feedback a little, not even a little, a lot more wholesome and truthful to what you get from a regular stranger that just leaves a comment that just found your video for whatever reason. And like I said, it's a little scary, because I don't think anyone's going to outrightly come out and, you know, offend me or anything like that. That's not the fear. The fear is getting criticism from people that you know you have a friendship with, but at the same time, I think it's probably going to be the best form of feedback. I'd rather people say, this is what's wrong, I think this part sucks, this part works, and it's, well, to the best of my knowledge, it's all, what do you call it? Anonymous, if you will. Sorry, I had a bit of a brain fart there. It's all anonymous. Like I said, I haven't seen how one of these results comes back, but I'm really looking forward to it, to seeing what individuals that I've talked to in the past or actually partied with in the past in person, what they have to say. So, you know what? Have at it, people. Like I said, obviously this session that I'm talking about specifically will have closed, but in the future, if I decide to go through the CC feedback again, literally let me know what you do and do not like about things. Like I said, it's scary to put yourself out there knowing that you're going to get something back that you may not, I don't want to say you don't like the response, but it's scary to put yourself out there and not knowing exactly what kind of feedback you're going to get. But at the same time, that's the only way that you're going to properly grow and cater to the audience that's actually listening to you versus the audience that just stops by and, like I said, leaves a terrible comment just because, oh, blah, 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 this game sucks, and I only watched 4 seconds of your video. I just had to say that. Like, whatever. Anyways, yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing what goes on with that, and, yeah, I will probably utilize that feature again in the future as well. Okay, I'm going to end this with what we watched over the past couple of weeks. And yeah, the first one here is The Grinch. This is the 2018 release. Do I really have to do a synopsis for this? I'm sure everyone knows the story. Anyways, I'll do a very short one for those 0.1% that have no idea what I'm talking about. A grumpy Grinch plots to ruin Christmas for the village of Whoville. Yeah, that's all you're getting, because like I said, I don't think I need to cover this one with a synopsis. This was a delightful surprise, I gotta say. Obviously, there's no way to replace the original that I grew up with as a kid. But this is definitely gonna be in probably my yearly folder for watching for Christmas movies. It was delightfully done. Animation is absolutely friggin' gorgeous. Just beautiful animation. But yeah, they obviously padded out a bit with a bit of extras that aren't in the original. The original running time of the TV special was, I want to call it half an hour, 40 minutes, something in that area. This has your standard animated film running time. You know, I think it was around 90 minutes, call it that, give or take. It was well done, though. The little tidbits and extras and minor changes to the story, yes, very minor, were very acceptable and well done for the script and the overall plot and the overall feel of the movie. It was really, really well done for a Christmas animated flick that would otherwise normally, I would feel, be butchered from its original content. This was really well done. Like I said, there's a couple of extras there that aren't in the original source material, but it's done very tastefully without destroying the original concept of the franchise, and I thoroughly recommend it. It's a great Christmas flick. I think, well, it's definitely family-friendly. Any age group can get some enjoyment from this. I actually even laughed out loud a few times, which I wasn't expecting. I thought it would just be a mediocre, another Grinch film. But no, there is even a couple of laughs in it for myself. So yeah, the 2018 version of The Grinch, I totally recommend giving that a sit. Although probably not now because it's friggin' March. But let's say it's a recommended sit for when the next Christmas season comes around. Alrighty, next up was Bohemian Rhapsody. Bohemian Rhapsody is a foot-stomping celebration of Queen, their music, and their extraordinary lead singer, Freddie Mercury. Let me start off by saying that this was an enjoyable film, but for me, the hype was a little bit overdone. But that doesn't take away any of this from being a recommendation. This is actually a quite good movie. I think the wife enjoyed it a bit more than myself. Like I said, I didn't hate it by any means. Do I have any need to sit through it a second time? Honestly, I do not. It was informative. It was well done. To call myself a diehard, longtime fan of Queen, that's not the case. I know a handful of their songs. That's about it. But it was a well-done flick. I'd recommend it, especially if you're into the true life stories of of anybody, whether it be a rock star or it could be a true life story of whatever. It's done not documentary style, at least. So, because I know some people think documentary, oh, it's going to be dry. This was done not documentary style, but in a true life form factor. Like I said, I personally think people hyped it up more than what it was, at least for me. I'm not taking it away from any of you that, you know, enjoyed the film more, but I definitely recommend sitting through it. It's a decent sit. And I think most anyone would enjoy it. Alrighty, and the last one we sat through was Equalizer 2. If you have a problem and there is nowhere else to turn, the mysterious and elusive Robert McCall will deliver the vigilante justice you seek. Yeah. If you've seen the first one, which I have, and actually I quite enjoyed the first one. It was good for a one-time sit, the first one. I enjoyed it for a good time. One-time sit. Sequel, it fell flat for me. Very predictable. At some points, kind of boring. There were some action scenes, but it was just your regular run-of-the-mill sequel that honestly didn't need to happen. If you're looking to blow an evening watching something that you haven't sat through before and you enjoyed the first one, sure. I'm going to say sure. Would I go out of my way to grab this? No. Would I go out of my way to rent this digitally? honestly, no. It would be one of those things where if you've seen the original and you're in the mood to see the follow-up, that is the only recommendation that I can give it. Am I saying that it is worth the money to be spent on it? Honestly, in my opinion, no, it wasn't. I couldn't, having sat through it now, I would have been more productive cleaning the bathroom or doing something else. It really would have been, I feel that way. The only enjoyment that I got out of it was sharing the sofa with the wife sitting through this movie. That was it. Past that, I could have done literally anything else and I wouldn't have missed this movie whatsoever. Very predictable, very run-of-the-mill, very sequel-ish. And yeah, that's Equalizer 2 as far as I see it. All right, well, that literally wraps this up. Before editing, I'm looking at just under 38 minutes, and then I'm going to throw in whatever tune at the beginning and the end. So call this a 35-minute to 40-minute episode, whatever. Like I said, there wasn't an awful lot for me to discuss because I'd only put out my last one a couple weeks ago, so I had to pad this out a little bit with what I had, but at the same time, I'm not going to just sit here and talk about stuff that I have absolutely zero interest in discussing. So this is a shorter one, but hopefully I was able to fill up your drive to or from work, that kind of thing, with anything other than, you know, just listening through to the sound of the air coming in through your window, that kind of thing. At least I was able to fill that. But this was definitely that episode that was just a filler, if you will. But I'm glad that I at least put out a filler episode versus nothing. Because, like I said, a lot of people will sit there and be like, oh, well, my podcast feed is empty. Well, here's one more thing to fill that feed before you run out and have literally all the space on your digital device empty because you've burned through everything to listen through. Anyways, thanks a lot. Have a good one, and I will catch you on the next one.